Just a minute, I'll be with you. I need to finish this. Yeah, that's what I want to say. So, now what can I do for you? Oh, you're wondering who I am. I thought you already knew. I thought just about everybody knew by now. My name is John, the apostle. You know, one of the 12. Unfortunately, I'm the last one alive. My brother, James, he was the first to give up his life for Jesus. And now Simon Peter's gone. He died in the persecution under Nero. And they've banished me to this island they call Patmos. I think they're just probably waiting for me to die as well. That's why I decided to get it all down in writing. You know, everything I can remember. Everything that Jesus said and everything he did until the day he was taken up in the clouds. That's what I was just doing. I was putting the finishing touches on my book. I think you call it my gospel. Actually, to tell you the truth, I thought I had finished my book several weeks ago. I had come up with this perfect ending, Doubting Thomas. I mean, that's what we called him after it happened. And after he missed Jesus' first appearance. What a day that was. I mean, we were in the upper room and we had locked the door. Why had we locked the door? Because we were scared. The truth is we were scared to death. I mean, if they could do what they did to Jesus, what might they do to us? So we didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to go. The only thing we could think of was to go back to the place where we had our last supper with Jesus. I mean, you have to understand, Jesus was everything to us. And now that he was gone, we had nothing. I mean, we had these hopes and these dreams. But all of those died the day they nailed Jesus to that cross. And we were grieving. We were in shock. We were afraid. And then suddenly, there he was. I mean, Jesus was standing in front of us, holding out his nail-scarred hands. We were overwhelmed. I mean, we couldn't believe our eyes, but we couldn't deny what we were seeing. I mean, I was literally shaking with emotion. But Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't with us that night. So as soon as we could, we found him and we told him. But he wouldn't believe us. I mean, just like we wouldn't believe Mary Magdalene when she tried to tell us that she had seen the Lord. I mean, I can still see how vehement Thomas was. Until I see it with my own eyes, he said, no, until I take my finger and I actually put it in the scar wounds, I will not believe it. Well, 1 week later, on the next Lord's Day, we called it the Lord's Day because that's the day Jesus rose. Well, on the next day, it happened again. I mean, Jesus was there. And so was Thomas. And so fixing his eyes on Thomas, he said, "See my hands? Come here. Put your finger in my side. Stop doubting and believe." I mean, Thomas just dropped to his knees right in front of Jesus. And he was crying and praying, and he just said, "My Lord and my God." Now that's something you don't forget very easily. And so when I came to the end of my gospel book, I said, that's it. I mean, that's the ending. That's the message I want to leave ringing in people's ears. And so I wrote down, then Jesus said to Thomas, You believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. And then I wrote these words. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you might believe, and believing have life in his name. Now don't you think that's a good ending for my book? I mean, I really thought that was it. I thought I was done. But I had this nagging feeling, like something more needed to be said, that there was another story to tell. And then I remembered the other appearance. And that one wasn't like the other two. It wasn't about overcoming our doubts or our fears. No, Jesus had already done that. We already knew that he was alive. I mean, this one was for another reason. And at first, I thought it was mostly about Peter. But down through the years, as I pondered it, I've come to realize there was a message for all of us. And I finally decided that's the story I want to use at the end of my gospel. But in order to understand that story, you have to understand something about Peter. See, Peter was our leader. Now, I know Jesus was our leader. He was our rabbi and our Lord. But Peter was the natural leader among us disciples. I mean, even Jesus treated him that way. He called him, he nicknamed him the Rock. And Jesus gave Peter a special place among us. And you know what? Most of the time, that was okay to us. Because it made sense. I mean, I knew Peter all my life. We grew up together on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we were partners in a fishing business before we followed Jesus. And Peter was always the leader. I mean, he just had this way of taking charge. You know, stepping forward when other people would hang back. I mean, Peter was the guy who walked on water. And I know, he walked on water because of Jesus' power. But Peter got out of the boat. And Peter was the guy who answered that question that Jesus asked all of us. Who do you say I am? Well, he was the first one to say it. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Peter was also, he was also the one that grabbed that sword and cut off the servant's ear until Jesus made him put it away. And Peter was the guy who stood up on the day of Pentecost. And he preached that first sermon, and 3,000 people were pierced to the heart and were baptized. I mean, Peter was the first to speak. He was the first to act. So I guess it made sense that he was the first to fall. I mean, I imagine you've heard about that too. I mean, Jesus told all of us on the way to Gethsemane that night that we would fall away. And I remember thinking, no, Jesus, not me. I won't. But again, it was Peter who said it. Even if everyone else deserts you, I will not. I'll die for you. Jesus just looked at Peter with that look in his eyes. And he said, Simon, the devil is going to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. Nevertheless, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And that's what happened. I mean, when the soldiers finally came, we all ran. And Peter was braver than the rest of us. He followed Jesus at a distance, all the way into the courtyard of the high priest. But then some of the soldiers and some of the servants, they recognized Peter. They could tell by his accent, and they said to him, "You're one of them, aren't you? Your accent gives you away." Three times, Peter denied it. The third time, he called down curses upon himself. And that's when the cock crowed. I mean, it was like a dagger to his soul. I mean, Peter ran out of that courtyard, weeping, sobbing. You know, something broke in my friend Peter that day. He wasn't the same man after that. I mean, he was overjoyed like all of us were when Jesus came back from the dead. But there was something missing. I mean, Peter wasn't taking charge. He wasn't stepping forward. He wasn't leading. And we all felt it. And after a couple of weeks in Jerusalem, we went back to Galilee. Jesus had told us that he would meet us there, back where it all began, and so we went. And one day, out of the blue, Peter said to us, "I'm going fishing." You know, it had been such a long time since we held the ropes of the nets in our hands and felt the weight of the fish pulling against our arms. And we missed it. I mean, it was in our blood. And so we said, "Of course, we'll go with you." And that's what we did. All night long, we fished. We went to all our favorite spots. Nothing. Not a single fish. I don't know, maybe we had lost the knack. But it made me think about that night, back at the beginning, when we had fished all night long, and then Jesus asked us if we'd go out again. I mean, we were in our boats and the cleaning our nets, and we were almost done and ready to put them away. And when Jesus asked Peter to go out again, I thought Peter was going to say something he would regret. He often did that. But no, he said, "Okay, Lord, since it's you, we'll do it." And as soon as we put out our nets, they were so full of fish, we couldn't pull them up. You know what Peter did? Right there in the boat, he fell down on his knees. And he said to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord. Leave me. I'm a sinful man." It sounds strange, but Peter was just saying what the rest of us felt. I mean, this was no ordinary man. I mean, we didn't know yet that he was the very Son of the living God. But we knew that we were in the presence of someone who is holy. I mean, someone so close to God that he could actually do miracles. And I learned something that day. I learned that holiness is a lot more frightening than I thought it would be. I mean, it makes you feel so unworthy. But that was the day it all began. Because Jesus said to Peter, and he said to us, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for men. Come, follow me." And we did. We left everything. We left the boats, the nets. We left the business. We left our families. And we followed Jesus. And here we were 3 years later on the same Sea of Galilee fishing. And in the first light of dawn, we saw this man on the shore about 100 yards off. And he shouted out to us, "Throw your nets on the other side of the boat." Throw your nets on the other side of the boat. What's that supposed to do? But for some reason, we did it. And when we did, it happened again. Our nets were so full of fish, we couldn't even pull them up. And I said, "Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord." And without saying a word, Peter grabbed his tunic and he jumped into the water. It was like the old Peter was back. Ready, fire, aim. When we got to the shore, Jesus was cooking breakfast. Now, I can't tell you how good it was to be with him again in that way. On that same shore. I mean, listening to the soft slap, slap, slap of the waves. I mean, smelling the fire and the baking bread. Eating the fresh fish. I mean, I love fish. And after breakfast, Jesus said, okay, let's go for a walk. I mean, we had walked so many miles with him. Our best conversations often happen during our walks. And so we headed off. He and Peter were together a couple paces ahead of us, you know, far enough ahead so they could have their own conversation, but close enough so the rest of us could hear. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Simon, son of John. Now, I don't think I'd ever heard Jesus refer to Peter that way. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I think what he meant is all of these, the sea, the fish, the boats, the life of fishing. Because Jesus knew that Peter was thinking about giving up. He was thinking about going back to fishing. I mean, Peter had failed Jesus when Jesus needed him most. And he'd failed us too. At least that's the way he felt. I mean, he had cowered to a servant girl. And he honestly didn't believe that he could do anything significant for God anymore. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, like you were a failure? Like you had betrayed someone you deeply loved? That you didn't have what it takes anymore? Well, that's the way all of us disciples were feeling. See, we had let Jesus down. And we were feeling guilty. And we were oh so weak. And we just didn't know whether we could do it. I mean, be his witnesses. Well, Peter responded to Jesus' question. Do you love me more than these? By saying, yes, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus simply said, feed my lambs. That's it. Feed my lambs. By the way, did I tell you how we fishermen grew up thinking about shepherds? See, fishing, that's real man's work. But shepherding, what's that? Following little lambs all over the hillside? But Jesus used to talk about shepherds and sheep all the time. I mean, he called himself the good shepherd. And he said that we would be shepherds someday. I guess that day has come. Anyway, Jesus wasn't done talking with Peter. And a little while later, he said the same thing. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. And he just kept walking. He let those words kind of sink in to Peter's soul. But we were all listening now. I mean, no one was saying a word. And then one more time, Jesus said it. And I could tell Peter was hurting. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. And then Jesus prophesied how Peter's life would end, how he would give his life for Jesus. And finally he said, follow me. And I think that's when Peter realized what Jesus was doing. I mean, Jesus was taking him back to the beginning. To the day when he first called Peter to follow him. And then he was calling him all over again. And three times he asked Peter the same question. Once for each time that Peter had denied him. I mean, it was as if Jesus was reaching down into his soul and healing him. One level more, one level more, one level more. I mean, Jesus knew Peter loved him. And we knew Jesus knew. So those questions must have been for another reason. See, I think Jesus was healing Peter. And he was letting Peter know that he was completely forgiven. But more than that, Jesus was giving Peter his life back. I mean, not the life that he had on the Sea of Galilee, but the life that Jesus had called him to. Not the life of a fisherman, but the life of a shepherd of the people of God. And can I tell you that my friend Peter needed that? He needed that so badly. And so did I. So did I. See, I hadn't denied Jesus three times, but I had failed him. I had run. I mean, I hadn't even been brave enough to get as close as Peter had. And if I had, I would have done the same thing Peter did. And so would you. And what Peter wanted, what Peter needed more than anything else in his life, was to be forgiven by the Lord he loved that he had betrayed. And I think he wanted that more than he even wanted to live. And Jesus knew that Peter didn't just need to be forgiven. Peter needed to be healed. And Peter needed to be restored. Restored to his place as a disciple, as an apostle, as the leader among us. Peter needed to know that Jesus still trusted him, even after he had betrayed him. And that's what Jesus gave Peter that day. He gave him his life back. How about you? I mean, I don't know what you've done, but I know that you've done wrong. And I know that if you love Jesus, you have let him down. You have failed to speak up for him when you should have spoken up. You failed to honor him the way he should be honored. With your words, with your wealth, with your very life. I mean, the one who loved us so much that he gave his life for us. I mean, it doesn't really matter who you are. You need to be forgiven. And you need to hear Jesus say to you, come, follow me. You're not damaged goods. Or if you are, you're not damaged so much that you can't be made good again. Jesus still wants you to be his disciple, to be his follower, to be his witness. I mean, even if you have failed him, Jesus is willing to trust you again. I mean, Peter denied Jesus. Thomas didn't believe. I mean, Matthew was a tax collector. It doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, all of us, all 12 disciples, we betrayed our Lord. And yet when Jesus rose from the dead, he picked us up and restored us to himself. And then he sent us out into the world as his apostles. And he sends you too. He chooses you. He entrusts you to be his witness. He entrusts you with his message, which means he entrusts you with himself. That's what I wanted to say at the end of my gospel.